St. Louis, DGS on KMOX 104.1 FM. I said that backwards and it felt really weird in my mouth. It was like Who's Pup yesterday. I had vowels and consonants in my mouth and I just had to get them out. So
what will today hold?
XOMK.
That's how it felt. Okay. I've heard that song a million times. Dance Night Away.
Yeah.
Is the first phrase, have you seen her? So bottom pretty. Dancing with the style in it.
Somebody, I think.
Have you seen her so fine and pretty?
See?
Oh, there you go. See, there
61
you go.
Years old.
Yeah, I know.
I always thought it was so bottom pretty.
Oh, I thought it was somebody pretty. But
and I was like, oh, okay.
I can't. I probably knew it at one time, but you know how it is. You get old.
So
things.
Bottom pretty.
Yeah. I thought it was like she had a pretty bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah. Play it again.
Okay, hold on.
Because now you're only going to hear the wrong way.
Yeah. Have you seen
her? So bottom pretty. Oh, yeah. Now I hear it.
Yeah. But you could also, when you hear for fine, if you listen for it, you definitely hear it.
I never have.
No?
I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, like you just
never knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm picturing a bottom so pretty that you lose the ability to form a correct sentence.
Yeah.
You're like, that bottom is worse.
You're like, this is who's pup.
Who's pup, yeah. I said horse pup. Yeah. We should go do karaoke as a show sometime.
Oh, yeah. That'd
be great. Fun.
We should go do karaoke.
Neil doesn't want to.
I mean, I'll do it. I just...
We should do karaoke and really sing the lyrics that we think are the lyrics.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sing them wrong.
Hit them with So Bottom Pretty.
Do it. I would like to do like So Bottom Pretty by Van Halen.
Do it like the wedding singer. Just throw in really, really terrible things.
Rach, you're the only one that's ever done karaoke.
I don't think that's true. Have you done it, Andrew?
You've done it
I've done it a couple times.
But you do it real life, Dave. That's like you actually do that.
Which somehow so makes it more difficult for
really?
Me to... Yeah.
Oh, I would think it would make it easier just because you've sung in front of people before. Yeah.
No, the only thing I did was the very first time back in like 1999 when we went to a resort in Jamaica, this time in my life, I'd never been to anything like that, all inclusive. And it was Sandals and the Grill and they had a talent show for the staff and us. And it was so funny because halfway through we realized, oh, they just do this for them.
Yeah, yeah, like, to laugh at everybody.
It's
different
sunburned Hoosiers every week. And Lady Patrice just wants to sing Whitney Houston.
It's like everybody watching the which episode, what did they call those episodes of what's this? Not The Voice, the big one.
America's Got Talent.
The whole where they all suck and everybody get the episodes where everybody stinks and get to laugh at how stinky everybody is.
Yeah, I don't watch any of those. No. I got up and I played a drum solo with that thing.
All right.
And that was pretty fun.
Karaoke. So nowadays in St. Louis, there's a couple of places that have adopted the like Eastern style of karaoke bar where you can rent like a booth and you can go in with your pals and you can hang out and have some drinks. And it's mostly soundproof.
Yeah.
For your protection.
So it's just you're with your buddies in a room.
Right.
Yeah. But before that, what we had around here was just the Western style of karaoke bar, which is a dive bar with a microphone.
Yeah.
And the thing about those bars is that they are generally frequented by people who really, really love going to karaoke bars.
Yeah.
And if you really love karaoke bars,
gotcha.
It's because you're an immensely talented karaoke singer.
Like the Huey Lewis movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's a little bit harder to break into those bars because you have to sit and watch everybody else do a really, really, really good job.
Gotcha.
As you try to work up
the
nerve.
It's not like a bunch of drunk co-workers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like professional karaoke singers who do this every night, and then you're I guess I'll follow this.
Yeah, I'll take the drunk co-worker.
I guess I'll follow Aretha.
You guys ever seen the videos of actual singers dropping in on karaoke nights?
Mm-mm.
It's pretty great. People like start looking around like, geez, this person's good.
Remember when you were really impressed by the Survivor karaoke singer? And it was just Survivor?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right, the band Survivor. I thought you were talking about the show. I'm like, what?
No. Yeah, no. That's when I was first an attorney. And I went across the street to Adams Mark. And this band was killing Eye of the Tiger. And
he's like, these guys are good.
Yeah, I said to the bartender, I'm like, God, these guys sound just like Survivor. He goes, oh, that's Survivor. Playing for me and 18 other people.
It's like 15 years later. Playing a bar in St. Louis. After having the biggest song in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to go to...
what a great song that is, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard the guy who wrote it talk about it. And how it just wrote itself.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah.
It's got that vibe. It's just good.
And the only reason they are a thing at all is because Queen turned them down, or I think maybe the record company for Queen.
Oh, turned down Rocky?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They wanted them to do the song.
Okay.
And their publishing company said no.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They did Flash Gordon, but they wouldn't do Rocky?
Yeah, there's a weird movie.
And a weird song. Mm-hmm. It wasn't terrible, but it's a weird song.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they kind of like the weird stuff.
Yeah.
So it fits them.
I've started getting email from listeners. My email's pretty easy to figure it out.
Don't say that.
It's hoospa@odyssey.com.
But people are just, I love it because they're just asking me really simple questions. And I think it's like fun to talk about here. One lady said, after seeing this on TikTok so many times, it recently happened to me. I was flying back home. And I was by myself sitting in the window seat, and the lady who is like a middle-aged lady, like the lady who emailed me, asked if she can have the window seat. Mm-hmm. But she just enjoys looking out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I paid for it. Mm-hmm. I picked this seat and I paid for it.
Yeah.
And
I like looking out the window too.
Yeah. What the hell?
That's why I paid extra money to look out the window.
That's why I got the window seat.
She said no, but she said the lady was just cold to her the whole rest of the flight.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with people?
You know, I was thinking of this because I saw like a big long story that someone posted, and oh, Delta expected them to switch their seat so a family could sit together and yada yada. And I'm sitting there and I'm getting so mad at the family because they didn't purchase their seats in advance, which is true and valid. But then I got mad at the airline. Because the airline shouldn't let that happen the way that it does.
It should be like an usher at the Bush Stadium.
Yeah, you should be able to be like, hey, I don't want to switch, and you shouldn't be asking me to switch, because I already made my seat selection, I already paid.
Totally agree.
If you're asking me to switch, I hope you're putting me into first class or into a better seat somehow.
Yeah.
Or an equivalent seat, right? Like, hey, can you switch from this seat to this seat? They're both window seats, but exactly. I want to be next to my husband or whatever. That's different.
But the airline will frequently make it the passenger's problem and like, hey, this is kind of on you. We kind of need you to cooperate so this family can sit together. And it's like, no, sorry, but if you think families should sit together, you should make that more of a priority while people are, but like, I don't understand why it's the consumer's
totally agree.
Issue to work out. It just makes things awkward and terrible.
Another person emailed me and said, hey, Dave, I know you love steak. So do I. I eat mine well done. Why do people have to hate on me?
That's gross.
Oh, it's fine. That's the way he wants to eat it. That's fine.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't
think
this
is coming from
a
medium rare.
Yeah.
Gal over here.
Did you see, I saw this video, and I don't know how valid it is because I don't know how valid Bobby Flay is in the chef world. I know he's a star, but I don't know how other chefs think of him. But he was on a podcast talking with another chef, and they were saying no burger should ever be anything but medium. Mm. That if you want it more rare than that, you're losing flavor because the fat doesn't render properly if you don't cook it to the medium temperature.
Interesting.
So that you don't get the full flavor of it. Because the center doesn't cook enough for that to happen.
Now, I will usually get a burger like medium well because I don't like the feeling if it. Sometimes
yeah,
they'll
get you. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll get it too rare and it does. I don't like the feeling of chewing raw ground beef.
Yeah, and raw ground beef is different than a steak because that ground beef, the bacteria
it's
is getting
all been
mixed
exposed.
Up.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
In a steak, it's only on the surface,
right?
And then it cooks off.
But I didn't know that. That's interesting.
I will go to Capital Grill and have ketchup on my steak.
Well, that's,
kiss my ass.
That's a step too far.
No, what I grew up with.
It's totally fine. Totally fine. Occasionally, I like a little good barbecue sauce with it. Sometimes, most often, I like. I don't know what's the most often. What's common? Like the most common thing I like is the steak butter. I think that's really good.
Yum.
I thought this was a really interesting question. I'm just going to paraphrase this. It's from a ninth grade teacher. She's not in ninth grade. She teaches ninth grade.
And, she is so smart.
She said she gets ChatGPT stuff all the time, but there's this one student that she can tell is using ChatGPT, but he very carefully rewrites it himself. She can tell. And she's like, I feel bad not giving him a decent grade because he's at least going farther than the other kids. But
so? He's cheating less? Good for him? Like, that's a stupid way to look at it.
Is it cheating?
If yeah. you have if yes. you have AI doing your work and all you're doing is editing the work, yeah. Because it's not just about how it sounds and which words you choose. It's about the ideas behind it and understanding them and being able to lay them out in a good, smart, intelligent way.
If I told you, if I handed you a book and I said, I wrote Hamlet, and I just changed it to be or don't.
Yeah.
Like, I still stole Hamlet.
Yeah.
I just made some of the words worse.
I don't know how the, I don't know what solution there is for this because it's just so prevalent now. I know there are programs that check for AI, but then there are also programs that will take an AI thing and make it sound more like you. Like you'll put in like your age and your education level and it'll like fix it so that it sounds like someone of your intelligence and your level of learning has written it. So I don't know how you keep combating this. But if there's a way, I think if you're caught using AI, you just fail.
Yeah, I mean, it's like using performance-enhancing drugs. Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between that and paying someone else to do the work for you?
At least the other person makes some money.
Helping the economy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I used to do this garbage in school. So we had one of those math textbooks where the back of the book gave you, like, the answers.
Like the even-numbered answers or something, yeah.
And I would just turn that in and be like, here you go.
Got a 50.
Here you go.
God, remember
when... I was bad at school.
You guys are probably too old, too young. But Wheels, you remember this, and a lot of people listening do. When you would check a book out of the school library, and you'd have to put your name
on
the inside cover.
You'd put butt.
The
Dr.
Card.
Butt.
And you could see, the card. The card, I forgot about that.
You got a little card that slides into the little the pocket.
I don't know if I ever read a word of any book I ever checked out.
What?
Yeah.
Why'd you check them out? Just to have fun?
I feel like I'm an alien here today. Like, I don't even know.
Well, you're talking about people. Checking
you
books
out. You checked them out. Why wouldn't you read them?
Why did you check them out and not read them?
You had to go to the library.
You just need some, paperweights?
They forced you to check out
books?
Yes,
you couldn't go to the library and not check out a book.
Oh, okay.
At the school library?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you made it seem like it was, like, your choice to go there. And you're like, I went there, and I wanted to, but I didn't read it.
The disconnect is that we were never placed under duress at the library.
Are you talking about the school library?
Oh, my God. How
Dave,
difficult is this?
You're the one leaving the details out. I'm sorry.
Well,
this
I mean, if you like, take your own butt.
I said school library.
Okay.
I said, and you said index card, and I said yes.
Yeah. We have those at the normal library, too.
Yeah.
They don't have index cards.
They
did, too.
Decimal system.
They did.
Look, I've never been to a real public library, but I'm pretty sure you're wrong. DGS on Cable X 124. I was thinking about it's been a longish time, especially to people like Andrew and Rachel's age, but I was a grown person when you didn't have a cell phone, you didn't have caller ID, the phone would ring at your house, you would pick it up, because what are you going to do, ignore it? Mm-hmm. And you just say, hello. And you had no idea who it was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We all did it.
Of course.
Never stressed about it.
Nope.
Absolutely.
But I also feel
do we have more dangers today? Like more unpleasantries to...
I think we have more...
We have more robocalls, for
robocalls
sure.
Robocalls,
like 1,000
calls.
Times more.
Yeah, I think the advancement of technology for convenience on our end also made it much more convenient on their end. Well, you know what I mean? So now it's like there's just a way higher risk if you answer a random call that it's going to be like a spam call. What do you think, Rach?
Well, I thought we talked about this earlier in the week, too. For younger people, they're used to being able to plan out their responses. And like if you're sending a text or you're sending an email, you're sitting there typing and you can really craft kind of exactly what you want to say. So if you're used to communicating like that, communicating on the fly and communicating quickly is more difficult. We all just have more reps doing things like that because we grew up with the telephone situation. And there was, unless you were writing a letter, you didn't really like craft what you were going to say. So that's part of it too, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We had to like think, we had to just have like real-time conversations.
Yeah.
Kind of like we're having now. Huh.
Yeah, maybe we might have talked about this when you were gone on last Friday, Andrew, because I also brought up like this is a generation that's like really scared to answer the phone or do phone calls or have these on the fly communications. They've grown up seeing people like get jumped all over for saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's often because they've typed it out or some, you know, they've had a bad take, a pre-crafted bad tape. But you could see like being scared of, oh my gosh, if I'm having an on the fly conversation and I say something wrong, I'm not going to be able to recover from it, or it's immortalized forever online and I'm just never going to live it down. Whereas all of us got to live in a time where it's like you just said it and it disappeared into
it was
nothing.
Gone forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So true. Had a real St. Louis moment this morning.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Had breakfast over at Chris's, my buddy Ed, who Andrew got to meet, so he can verify he's a real person.
He's real.
And I was walking back, and I'm coming down the sidewalk towards our door, and three steps in a row, crunch, 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 and I look down, and I'm stepping on chicken bones from KFC.
Oh, yum.
And then the yelly guy on the corner started screaming at me.
All right.
So I'm like... Happy Friday. GS and KMOX 133. Have Bernie Miklas coming up 1 hour from now. Alvin Reed. I love Alvin, but I love him even more because Alvin's my Friday guy.
Absolutely. I feel the same way about Janelle. I'm like, love Janelle.
Yeah.
But when she's here on Thursday, I'm like, it's almost Friday.
Yeah. If she were on Tuesday, you'd be like, oh, hey, Janelle.
Like, oh, hey.
Then we have Mayhee coming up. He was at the James Beard Awards last week when local chef from Balkan Treat Box won the James Beards. We'll talk to him about that. Oh, I forgot to bring this up yesterday. You guys probably don't know this, Andrew and Kevin. But sometimes I'll get bored in the office and I'll walk back to talk to you guys, but I usually stand at the door to see what you're talking about and judge whether I want to be a part of it or not.
That's a safe idea.
Yeah. There's lots of stupidity going on
you
in there.
You run about 50%.
Yeah.
Sometime this week, I chose not to come in because it felt like Kevin was explaining to Andrew what an ice pack was.
No. ice pack?
Yes.
I remember that. You don't remember this?
No. What were
what
we
was the day
about?
You had your lunch? Was it Tuesday that you had your lunchbox?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. My frozen block of ice that's been with me now for about 10 years.
He had the little ice pack thing.
It's got a little like gel in there, and then it's, you know, yeah.
And I was like,
that's what it was.
He was like,
were you not understanding what an ice pack was?
No, I was.
I was just being stupid.
Oh.
He was like, this is my ice pack. And I was like, yeah, I love ice packs. I've been using ice packs since I was like a kid.
Explaining the dumbest thing of all time.
Okay.
And he was like, when it melts, I don't have to throw it away.
See?
I put it in the freezer.
I've had this for 10 years.
It refreezes.
Yeah.
Use it again.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, bud.
I know. It was like a stepbrother's moment.
Did you know he was doing a bit?
I didn't know he was doing a bit. And you heard all that and still didn't choose to come in? And
yeah. No, I walked away pretty quick.
You love a juicy conversation like that.
Oh, you've missed all the taurine conversations the last 2 days.
The taurine ones have been pretty
What's
bad.
Taurine?
So I'm drinking my powdered energy drink that I put in my little shaky cup and shake it up.
Yeah.
You can hear it.
What's the brand?
Brand is G Fuel. You can get big tubs of it for
gotta fuel the G.
Unfortunately, I think the G stands for gamer. I think it's gamer fuel.
Okay.
It helps me focus in my reaction time so I can succeed in my online video games.
Yeah.
It's just zero sugar energy powder, and it's like it's about a dollar a scoop.
There you go.
And so it's a way better deal than just like drinking Red Bulls. And
like
then there's
a
million different flavors, so I like it. This is not a commercial for that. This is me trying to sell Kevin on trying some, which Kevin does not do energy drinks.
Nope.
Because no one has ever needed one less in the history of the world than Kevin, who is essentially a perpetual motion machine. Like, if we could harness him, we could save lives.
Yeah.
If we could figure that out.
I am the answer to free energy for all.
I was reading off all the things in there, and one of the things in it is taurine, and I mentioned to him, I was like, you know what, so much of my diet is taurine-based. I drink so much, everything I drink, like the Monster Zero Sugars and like this, all the energy drinks have taurine in them, and like, I have absolutely no clue what that is. It turns out it's an amino acid, and if you know what an amino acid is, then you know more than I do. Because I didn't know what an amino acid was.
You know, that's so true. Like, if you said, what's an amino acid? I'd say, oh, it's one of the essential building blocks of life. And I would be right.
Yeah.
But if they said, no, but what is it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I know it's, like, a thing. And, like, I'm sure I did learn it at some point when I was in school 20 years ago. And I've just never needed to use that information since. Or right. I needed to and just chose not to.
I'm looking at the G Fuel website. They have a cherry green apple flavor that is very intriguing to me.
They got a million different flavors. I've only ever had one really bad one. There was like a strawberry limeade that was absolutely disgusting. This one's lemonade.
I don't like that. Don't do that. Don't shake
that.
Yeah, like,
this one's a lemonade.
It's worse when you can see him doing it. Trust me.
I told him today. I walked in like from the back. He was shaking that. I thought he was doing a dance. You know, like.
Like, I was going nuts on it.
Because he was holding it above his head. And,
no, I was going like nuts
was,
on
like
it.
He was, like he was a raver.
Is he dancing?
And then I'm like, no, it's a shaky thing.
Just filled it up and put the powder in. So I was like.
And as I walked in, I'm like, why is he dancing? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He's just mixing.
Yeah. He's got those shaker cups.
I was waiting to start hearing the
gym rats use.
Like he was at a rave.
Blender bottles. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I do want to be. I do want people to think of me. I don't want to go to the gym, but I do want to be thought of as a gym person. I mean, that's the dream, right?
You should go
all
to
the
a
credit,
gym.
None of the work.
You should go to the gym, set up a camera, and then just shake that thing. Be like, you're in my shot.
Yeah, be like, I'm clearly filming TikToks. Like,
oh, this is my workout.
Just me shaking it.
You know how every bit of evidence keeps suggesting I'm mentally ill? I found a new one. I'm watching TikTok, and the doctor comes on. He's like, some subtle signs that you are, I forget what mental illness it was, but basically like highly functioning crazy, and said the number of times you sneeze. And I'm like, here we go. And if you sneeze once, you're very well regulated. Sneeze twice, you have a little more complicated nervous system. Three or more means that you're hypervigilant and on high alert all the time, and your sympathetic nervous system takes in more information than it should. And I'm like, how about when you sneeze 8 times on Highway 270? Like, what does that mean? So, yeah, once again.
I thought about this today.
Put that in my pocket.
Speaking of sneezes.
Yeah.
Since we're on the subject. I was sneezing this morning in the bathroom. 2. I usually am a 2 sneezer person. And I was thinking, sneezing never works. If sneezing, because like I'm a double sneezer. If it worked, then I wouldn't need to sneeze twice in a row.
Yeah.
Like why did we evolve that need to sneeze? It doesn't work. And I don't feel, because it's you're supposed to be getting stuff out of your nose, right? Well, nothing comes out of my nose. It just comes out of my mouth. I just go like, yeah. A bunch of spit goes flying wherever. You know what I mean? I don't know. This is what I was thinking about this morning.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, you know, I was like, I need to talk about this. If this comes up.
Yeah, the stuff that's being sneezed out is like dust and things like that.
But I feel like nothing even comes out of the nose.
That's because it's really small.
I guess I've never thought of it in terms of like whether or not the sneeze worked. That's interesting. To me, it's just always been something that happens.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah. Sneezes are great.
They can feel nice.
I kind of like
sneezes. You can tell they worked because you just felt the sneeze.
Mm-hmm. It'd be terrible if they hurt.
Oh, man. Yes. Sometimes they do.
Yeah, sometimes if you got like chest pain or whatever.
I have definitely given myself a back spasm with a sneeze.
Yeah, I've been there. I also wrote down in my show sheet last night, three words, I can write.
I can write.
Yeah.
Sweet.
You ever just have something like that?
Well, it is amazing that
it is.
We learn, first of all, that we all agree on a language.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. And then as a little kid, you pick it up, you learn to speak, and then you learn the letters, you learn to write them, you learn to read them.
Rach gets it.
You learn to type eventually. It's like, That's really, really cool.
And then I can take this implement, which, by the way, is the greatest pen I've ever had, and make markings on a piece of paper, hand it to you, and you get the message.
I'm like, I know what that means.
Yeah. I can write.
Pretty neat.
These guys don't get it.
And some people don't.
Yeah,
like true. Some people, you hand it to them, and they go, I can't make heads or tails of this.
I also learned something really interesting last night that I had to look up because it didn't seem real. But it was a deal about astronomy and talking about time. Time? Time. Yes. And the term was yotta years. Y-O-T-T-A years. Like, if you're saying a lot of years, but you're trying to say it like you're a cutesy pie, like, oh, it's a yotta years. And I looked it up, and it's a real term. And it's another term for a septillion, which is too long to even think about. But that's like a real astrophysicist say things like, how many yotta years is it?
Yeah, it does sound like something like a little kid says to be cute. Like, we're not going to have dinner for yotta years.
Exactly. Kev, can you tell me about J.D. Thanks, Vance Andrew. And Nixon?
Well, I'm just curious what you guys would make of this. Did you see it?
I did.
A video of this?
I did.
So Vance... he said word for word that if it happened today, Watergate would be a 12-hour news story, which is, in a way, what he's trying to do, it sounds like, is polish Nixon's legacy.
Very much so.
Make it seem like it really wasn't that big of a deal, and today would be a 12-hour news story. I'm not sure about the 12-hour thing, but I do agree with him that it would be a lot less because everything is a lot less now, and I think that's terrible. I think it's terrible.
But the point he's making isn't great for him.
No, it's not good for him. It's not good for Nixon. It's not good for anybody. All it really is showing how we've lowered our standards as to what matters. Right?
Yeah.
Like, our standard for what gets you in trouble is so wildly different than it used to be. And I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think powerful people should be getting more leash. You should be getting less leash. We should be like, no, rein that in. No lying, no spying, none of it. Why would you make the argument that that was no big deal?
Mm-hmm. It's not an apples for apples comparison, but it reminds me of when Megyn Kelly was talking about Epstein and said, well, he wasn't a pedophile. The girls were 14. Maybe don't make that distinction.
No.
I felt the same way about Vance. Like,
yeah. Like, what are you saying to us?
Yeah.
That you think that behavior should be okay and not disqualifying?
Yeah, I took it as...
Spying on your political opponents should be okay?
Americans in general and the media in particular overreact to everything.
Well, that's true.
And make a mountain out of a molehill. And if Watergate happened today, they, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
see, he's not... In one sense, he's right. Because look at... We get something new every day now. Right, it wasn't like that in the 1970s. We didn't have a new scandal, a new crazy ass thing every day. So when something happened, it was treated like the big deal that it is. But the modern strategy from people in positions of power is just keep throwing flack in the air because you won't be able to keep track of all of it.
Yeah.
And There's no more fear of being caught in something like what Nixon did. That should be career ending. That should be, you're done. Goodbye.
Yeah, he's like, we basically do 2 Watergates per day now.
Broke the law. Yes. Yeah,
yeah, that's the way I took it.
Yeah.
People from back then just need to chill.
Worse than that,
out.
Did you see his interaction with his wife?
No.
Where he patted her on the knee and said, nice to see you?
Yeah.
What?
Those two, I like to think they just don't know how to act in front of the camera.
Look,
but it was awkward.
I'm calling it right now. Vance will not be the guy in 28. He is too mannequin-ish. He's very much like Hillary Clinton. He always appears to be working so hard to appear human.
Yes. Well, it's because he's an entirely fabricated person in the political world.
What did he do at like the sandwich shop? Do you guys remember this?
No, I was going to know
there was something.
The campaign,
yeah, there was something weird.
Something real weird.
Yeah.
I'll think of it on a break.
Welcome to the VGS. Happy Friday. Grace, what's the Snapchat story?
Oh, this is so disgusting. So, Snapchat is currently being sued because there was a 12-year-old girl who was sexually assaulted by a 25-year-old man that she met on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what happened, at the age of 11, she signed up for Snapchat without her parents knowing. She lied and said, you know, I'm 13, but she couldn't, like in court, she couldn't remember the exact birth date she entered, but she admits like, yeah, I lied about my age to get on Snapchat, but let's presume she's 13 and not 11.
Yeah.
Still kind of crazy that a 13-year-old child would be allowed to sign up for an application that, just in case you've never used Snapchat before, it's a photo and video messaging app where the photos and videos disappear. You view them and they disappear. The only reason to have something like that for like children, I can't think of a scenario where it's a good idea for kids to be sending even just each other photos and it goes away, but especially corresponding with adults. Snapchat suggested her and a couple of her middle school friends to a 25-year-old Snapchat user, like, hey, find my friends. Here are some new friends you can add. So he went in, he added her, he added her friends. He starts sending the girl unsolicited nude photos. And the girl said, like, I didn't want these photographs, but they said Snapchat's product design made it impossible for her to avoid such explicit content. Now, I think she probably could have blocked him, but again, we're talking about an 11-year-old child. Maybe she didn't understand how to block. So this 25-year-old man who claimed that he was a 17-year-old local high school boy is grooming her over the course of months, eventually convinces her to meet up with him in person, and rapes her.
Wow.
And she is currently dealing with PTSD, anxiety, depression. And the lawsuit is claiming that Snapchat knew that this predator had multiple accounts, including the one he used to lure these teenage girls. The plaintiffs are seeking damages and they're asking the court to compel Snapchat to stop practices that harm children. To me, stopping practices to harm, I don't know that it should be a app that is geared toward children ever, but it is. That's
it should
the
be
app
18
kids
plus.
Use. It should.
It should be adults only because like people are like, oh, the pictures, even if you're not doing anything, you know, like sexual or offensive in that way, even if it's just stupid things.
You should be able to check and see what your kids are
it's
doing.
It's actually not disappearing, though, because anybody that sees it can take a screenshot.
Right.
Like this idea that, oh, it disappears. So if you did something crazy, only they're going to laugh and it's gone. No, no, no. People can like click and save. They can screenshot. And I don't know why that. I mean, if you're a grown person, you make the decision to do that. Great. But it should be for 18 plus.
So New Mexico also sued Snapchat in 2024. And the state of New Mexico says that Snapchat's design fosters sextortion, sexual abuse, and unwanted contact from adults to minors. And according to that lawsuit, Snap was aware but failed to warn parents and young users and the general public that this was rampant and an incredibly concerning issue. Long story short, they claim Snapchat just wants to make money, just wants to get as much users on the platform as possible. There's no thought being given to protecting the minors who they actually want to use their service.
Yeah.
Because all they care about is constant engagement.
And that's something that it's so important for parents to realize this, because I think these technologies popped up and it's like, oh yeah, have fun talking to your friends on the app, sweetie. And it just never enters into a lot of people's mind that this kind of thing would be possible, because how could it be possible? How could these companies get away with this sort of thing for so long? But they have. And in some cases, the more harm they do to your child, the more engagement they're getting. So they're actually pressing forward with it. That's what Meta has been accused of in many cases. So it's just really, really important to understand that these tech companies have no actual interest in protecting your children. It's only after they've been sued a couple times that they go like, oh, yeah, we better think of a couple protections here.
I'm going to use a word that drives people crazy, which is normal, but it's the only word I got. Is it just true that it's never been more difficult for a kid to have a normal childhood than now?
I think they're just exposed.
AI, chatbots, and people like this. And
the children are just exposed to things that we never had to deal with.
Right.
I remember when I was younger, I never had access to the family computer to this extent, but I had friends who would get on AOL Instant Messenger, and they'd be like, yeah, he's talking to this guy, and it would get weird.
Yeah.
But that was just kind of like a drop in the bucket as far as what kids are dealing with these days.
Yeah, yeah.